This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What up, everybody? 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. The boys are back in town. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley after a week in New Orleans. We're all back in the Navy Yard studios. Good morning, Brian. How you doing, bud?
I'm good, brother. What's happening with you?
I'm good, man. It's good to see Jeff. It's good to see Landfill. And I don't... Two of the four of us, I think, are unhappy. I think three of the four of us are unhappy. You seem at peace with everything. The Eagles were absolutely the better team in the Super Bowl and kicked the ass of the Kansas City Chiefs up and down the field.
They were dominant.
They dominated both lines of scrimmage, and you're not going to win when that happens.
Well, we saw something I discuss a lot, and I think people have to get their minds right on this. I've heard everyone talk about every receiver out there. They talk about everybody you got to get skill position. You better go get you some O-linemen and D-linemen. Kansas City showed that you need O-linemen because they couldn't block. And Philly showed you got dominant D-linemen how you could dictate a whole football game. And I believe that as we move forward, that engine and transmission need to be revitalized because I watched Jaden Daniels handle their defense way better than Pat Mahomes handled it. Why? He had a little bit more time. The offensive line is not exactly what you need all the way, hours. But we got to improve that even more because Philly D linemen are going to, they're not getting younger. You know, those guys are a young group who should be together for about the next 3 to 4 years before people start picking them off.
It'll probably happen. I mean, Phil, we can get into Philly's level of built to lastness because it's pretty damn built to last. Hurts deserved the MVP of the game. He was really, really good. Just because there's no individual player you could give it to on the defense, but the defense won this game.
I think what's the kid, Sweat?
Sweat had 2.5 sacks.
Before the second.
2.5 sacks, 6 tackles.
He had 2.5 sacks before the damn halftime.
The other kid, Milton Williams, had 2 sacks. Cooper DeJean had a pick 6.
Yeah.
Zach Bond had a really, really great interception that also... I mean, the defense was so dominant. I understand in the individual performance, Hurts was great. And the throw he made to Devontae Smith to make it 31-0, the way he used his legs throughout the game, he was so silky. Hurts was fantastic. But the Philadelphia defense completely dominated this game from start to finish. You know, KC had 1 first down in the first half, and it was the first play of the game. He connected with Smith-Schuster for that little, like, 11-yard gain.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 1 first down the entire first half.
Yeah.
They couldn't run the ball. They didn't even try to run the ball. You could see they tried to get everything going to the edges.
They couldn't even throw the quick passes to the edge because they were getting pressure so quick.
It was remarkable. I don't think I don't think Mahomes had his best game, but I don't think he could because he was just getting his ass kicked so constantly.
Man, when you're who was it telling me this the other? I was talking to someone that was Joe Theismann. Bam. Joe said, Joe and London were discussing how the quarterback is the most dependent position in sports. I say it all the time. Pat's a great quarterback. You can't be great if you're laying on your ass and you can't step into your throws. And so he didn't have a chance in hell to do anything because his offensive line let him down. Or whoever.
I don't know if they let him down or they just got their ass kicked. They might have just been outmanned. Hey, Billy was able to beat them consistently with four.
That's what I'm trying to say. But that they let him down. I mean, they've been blocking all year. They figure out a way. Andy Reid let him down because they didn't come up with a scheme to be able to do some things. They kept dropping him back, and the Eagles had the ability with four to corral him in the pocket, and when he tried to run through it, they just collapsed. Why not roll out on the edges, do some different things?
I don't think they could get there. because you saw him try to run around and create, and I think—
But trying to run around and create after the pressure has already come.
But when he got the exterior pressure, I think he tried to step up in the pocket, and they were there. Like, not only were they winning, they were also disciplined.
They were disciplined, but still, you catch the balls, you take two steps, throw a quick pass, those things could work. But they were getting whipped. Listen, man, the only way you sum it up is the Eagles' defensive line was dominant.
Dominant.
And we can sit up here and we can keep worrying about damn skill positions. I'm going to say if you build your thing inside out, your offensive line, defensive line out, you're going to be great. You got a damn great quarterback right now. As we move forward, this team here, take a page out of their playbook.
Yeah, I think watching last night, it was – it's painfully obvious, right? Like, Washington is now in the same division as these Eagles. They have been forever. And they lost to the Eagles in the NFC title game. The Eagles aren't going anywhere. Every one of their, like, main members of that team is signed for the foreseeable future. There's certainly going to be guys that are available, and things will change, but things are also going to change on Washington. I watching that thing unfold last night, it was just remarkable to see the level of ass kicking continue. I thought when DeJean had the pick six, I'd love to know, and maybe this stat exists out there somewhere, how many playoff games have been won by a team that throws a pick six? Because I bet it ain't many. That is such a debilitating change. It's almost like a two touchdown swing.
Yeah.
Or at least like a 10-point swing. Because you're on offense, ideally you're moving the ball. I mean, the Quan Martin pick six in Detroit is what sealed that game down, right? So they're up 10-0, and then the DeJean pick six, and then it was only like maybe another possession later where the Chiefs finally forced a punt. And then Pat throws the pick back up in his own end zone.
He threw two passes in a row, and they were both two picks.
That's crazy.
A touchdown and then the one to Vaughn when he got hit. But the pressure, listen, it all goes back to that pressure. And I go as far as
I agree with you.
Their defensive line pressure dictated the football game on both sides of the ball. The fact that they knew there wasn't a chance in hell Pat was going to have time, their offense was able to do some other stuff. So all of a sudden now, Saquon is used as as basically the decoy.
He never hit the home run.
No.
In every other game, Saquon hits the home run.
Yeah,
Last night he didn't. 25 for 57, and it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter for a second. I think that in the second half, Hurts was able to use his legs so well.
Yeah.
But, dude... Mahomes' stat line at the end of the third quarter, when it wasn't even a contest then, but like before, clearly Fangio, things kind of let up. They started subbing some players out. He had 40 yards passing and two picks.
Yeah.
I've never, even the Tampa game, the Super Bowl they lost coming into this one against Tampa, when was that? The COVID season, so 21, January 21, or February 21. Even that game, I'll pull up the stat line, but Mahomes didn't seem as dominated in that.
He seemed bad in that game. He was getting whipped. he had a little bit more time, but I'm not gonna question Pat. I put all of that on his offensive line. Like you said, he had no time to do anything.
Yeah, I'm not saying on Pat. I remember that game, Tampa's defense dominating. But maybe it's recency bias, but I swear it looked worse last night.
But, you know, as I look at the game last night, I'm going to be honest with you. And I don't know how you think or anybody else. I don't feel intimidated by them. We went up there and played better than Kansas City played against them last night. We had three turnovers that really cost you early in that game. I think our offense handled the game way better than Kansas City's did. So just as much as people could be worried about them and happy about them, I feel as confident about Washington because I believe Peters will go change it up. I'm not terrified of those guys. They hit the ground running and had nobody to stop them, and they just kept rolling. I watched Jaden work them. He was getting the ball down the field, throwing the ball where he needed to throw it.
Even having the two first half turnovers, if Eckler doesn't fumble at midfield, it was an 11-point deficit at that point.
Yeah.
And you had just forced a punt, and you had the ball at midfield, and you were driving.
True.
Like, if you don't have that, let's say you get a field goal on that drive, then all of a sudden it's a one-score game going into the fourth quarter. I agree with you. I think it creates this really interesting existential question because we have said for all season, people want to say the Kansas City's not that good. But they just keep winning games.
Yeah.
Well, last night they got their ass kicked.
Yeah, but they were in the Super Bowl.
I know, but hold on. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Throughout the season,
yeah,
there's this broad assumption of the AFC's superiority between Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore. Well, Philly kicked all three of their asses. And Philly didn't
even... overall have the biggest upside. Even you said with all the quarterbacks over there, one game doesn't change the whole thing.
But if our knock on Allen and Lamar is they can't beat Mahomes, Hurts now has.
Well, he has, and he's surrounded by a damn good team.
Sure,
and he took full advantage of it. We're not gonna just. They won that game last night, but I'm not gonna all of a sudden just throw the whole NFC in front of the AFC right now.
Right, but if you're saying,
because I just looked at the projections for next year. You got four NFC teams, AFC teams before you have an NFC team.
But I'm just saying, to your point of, as far as here in Washington, yeah, not being scared of Philly, it's interesting because I think inherently we would still have this vision in our head. We're like, all right, well, the Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs are still ahead of them. But, I mean, Philly specifically beat at least Baltimore and Kansas City head-to-head. And maybe it's like things are different in division games. Like Washington obviously plays Philly well.
Washington plays them twice. So Washington get to see them, and they're not worried about them. And Kansas City got them earlier, I thought, this year. But the thing of it, at the moment when you had to do it, they did it. The Eagles did. But already projecting by the people that pick those numbers, Kansas City is the Ravens are first, then the Chiefs, then the Bills. The Eagles come after that.
That's crazy after last night.
Yeah, because sometimes you get in games and, like you say, it begins to snowball. You just do so well, and the other team starts pressing, and they do bad. And it happens like that.
I think Mahomes started to press. So I pulled up his stat line from the Tampa game.
Mm-hmm.
So last night, it's so much of this is I wish I could just pull up his stat line from the first three quarters of those two games, but unfortunately I can't. Last night, he finished 21-32 for 257, three touchdowns and two picks. But at the end of the third quarter, I think he had 40 yards passing. Go back to that Tampa game. He finished 26-49 for 270 with just the two picks, no touchdowns. How many times do you think he was sacked in that Tampa game? Because I remember he was constantly under pressure.
I don't remember. I know he was six last night.
He was only sacked three times in that Tampa game.
But that's the thing, like, the
there was
pressure.
A drive last night. It went sack, sack, pick.
The pressure was so much more dominant. The thing about not just the pressure, they got home. And they were rushing. I saw a little bit of it this morning. They were rushing four. But Sweat, and I don't know the guy on the other side, the end, they were rushing and collapsing. So Pat only had, what, 5 to 7 yards of movement.
And he couldn't
then the
step
big
up.
Boys were stepping up the middle.
Yeah.
He had nothing to do. When the thing about when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was doing it, it was pressure. They were blitzing and stuff. And when you're blitzed, you do leave openings. And he was able to get the ball to those openings. But last night, they were playing zone, rushing with four. If you ever get to the point where you can block their four, you can pick the zone apart.
They couldn't.
They couldn't block their four.
Not for a second, man.
So that's the homework assignment for every team playing them next year. Get you a good offensive line. Alleviate their pressure. You can pick them up. You can work the zone.
I think it, one thing that's remarkable, Vic Fangio has been a really good defensive coordinator for a long time. I'm not here to take anything away from Vic Fangio. But Fangio, in his career, I believe going into last night, was 0-7 facing Mahomes. Maybe it was 0-8. Whatever the number was, it was a significant body of work, and it was 0-4.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get that performance from the Eagles last night defensively. Like, that to me is a prime example of Jimmy's and Joe's, not X's and O's. If you have a big
prime
body
example
of work
also
where
of
you
the,
can't win.
What the hell a GM can do for a coach?
Dude.
That's the unsung hero up there, the GM.
Totally. I actually learned this by being around a bunch of Philly people for the last week. My reputation up there is as a Sirianni hater. That's not what I'm trying to do. That's not what I'm trying to portray. If you look at what Sirianni has accomplished now in his first 4 or 5 years as an NFL head coach, it's remarkable. Both the winning rate, he's now won a Super Bowl, been to two. Like, yo, he's, I mean, he's got a 70% win percentage.
Who?
Sirianni. Mm-hmm. 6-3 in the playoffs, now has a Super Bowl win under his belt. Sirianni could get it done. Yep. But I think the team that has been built up there, the amount of talent on that roster, think about the DBs. I mean, DeJean and Mitchell,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to let Darius Slay walk.
Yeah.
Like, because they've built it back. I mean, Jahan Dotson, for a second there, looked like that was the first touchdown catch of the game, right? Like, I could only, what was a Jahan Dotson anytime touchdown or a Jahan Dotson first touchdown?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the amount of cash that would have been worth was a lot. Now, that said, he was ruled down at the one.
It probably wouldn't even on the first touchdown.
I think
even the people in Vegas didn't think that was going to happen.
I feel like for the Super Bowl, they give everybody, but you're probably right. Think about what that swing was for Vegas. From they would have had to pay out six people for a Dotson touchdown, any first touchdown, to then Hurts getting it, which everybody probably had.
Probably so.
But what I'm sure Vegas did all right last night.
Yeah, going for the two, he could have got the octopus.
That's true, dude. Even a dude like Dotson, who was a first-round pick here, and his rookie year was really good. Things fell apart here, obviously. But he's their sixth option offensively. I mean, Brown, Smith, Goddard, Saquon running, Saquon passing, Hurts' legs, then Dotson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as far as what you're looking to build out in a game plan?
Number 14. They put him in before he's a target before Dotson.
Gainwell, right?
Yes.
That team is loaded. You start talking about just the D-line. Carter, Davis, Smith, Sweat, Williams.
Williams looked like he did way more.
No, when he talks about Williams, he had 2 sacks
Williams
in the Super Bowl.
He did way more than Davis. Williams came to play yesterday, bro.
I mean, for all the Jalen Carter conversation, I don't know.
I didn't hear his name.
I don't know that he made the stat sheet. Now, D linemen should not be only judged by stat sheets, but.
Well, Williams was pressuring and getting sacks.
Yeah.
And I didn't know nothing about Williams until last night.
I think he's a free agent, should you be interested.
Come on down 95, homie.
What a thorough ass kicking. Where I've landed, the Eagles are the best team in the NFL this season. Their roster's completely loaded. Everybody involved with that organization deserves credit. But I don't have to be happy about it. That's my bottom line. We're going to check in with
Jeff. We go to Kansas City next year, don't we?
I think, I think there's a very good chance Washington is playing Philly in the NFL season opener that Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
doesn't that seem like a NFC title rematch? A lot of people are going to be a lot of interested in that. Got to check in with Jeff, who is visibly upset. Before we run, though, listen, if you want to move to Philly, God bless you. I have no idea why you would do that. But if you're looking to just buy or sell a house within the D.C. area, say you're living in Arlington, want a little more space, move out to Vienna, you need to call our friend John Leahy.
Just like Fred did. Fred wanted to sell his home in Rockville because he had dealt with John before. So Fred reached out to John for the 8th time and his team so they could get the job done. With John Leahy's VIP seller program, he got the home sold quickly and for top dollar. If you're looking to sell, take advantage of John Leahy and the Fine Living Group's guaranteed offer. Start by finding out what the home is worth in only 30 seconds at johnsellsdmv.com. We're talking about our friend John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees, customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
Working with John is like working with someone you know has your best interests, about getting you the most cash, but at the same time, has your best interests at heart. Think about this. If you need to do a little bit of upgrades on your house, say you need to redo the sinks and all the faucets and all the hardware, right? Yep. Say it's going to cost you, I don't know, what do you think that is, B? $2,800, 3 G's?
Maybe more than that.
It might be. Could be like 5, depending how big your kitchen is. But you don't want to have to come up with that cash. Talk to John. He could cover that stuff, which will get you more money when you sell your house, and then you just settle up with him on the back end at closings. No interest, none of that. Those are the differences that make John a VIP seller and are all parts of his VIP seller program. Call John today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
start pack. 106.7 The Fan. Reacting to last night's ass-kicking by the Eagles. Tough night for the Chiefs. Wanted to run through just some of these numbers. Both Josh Sweat and Milton Williams will be free agents. The two of them.
Josh Sweat and William?
Yeah.
And they can't keep both of them.
Well, Sweat's contract's a little funky because it's a big void year, which has a bunch of dead money on it. But I think because it's a void year, you just have to eat that. I got to try to really figure that out. But, like, it's a void year, so it's going away, period. I think the signing bonus carries over from when they first signed him. I know there's going to be so much talk about this, and I am not suggesting – I think both those guys are good players and certainly played the game of their lives in the most important spot, which matters a lot.
Yep.
But, like, when you have like, you and I were just watching that Nolan Smith play on – that's just a good example of why they couldn't run the ball – the violence, downhill nature of these Eagles D linemen. But when you have the depth and quality all across your D line,
mm-hmm.
that's a rising tide lifting every boat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily in a hurry to pay any of those guys unless like Jalen Carter becomes available. But they've put something together where they've got 7, 8, 9 dudes, man.
Yeah.
That's like.
That means you could bring in a whole backup.
Brandy Graham line. Came back last night.
You could bring a whole line and they play. They don't drop off. You know what I mean?
Listen,
that makes a difference.
I'm reading from Bill Barnwell here about the Eagles' defensive line domination.
Mm-hmm.
In their final game before free agency, this was the Josh Sweat and Milton Williams show. The two Eagles draftees combined for 4.5 sacks. Down the rotation, Jalix Hunt and Moro Ojomo showed up with splash plays and quality snaps. Brandon Graham, a surprise activation during the week after recovering from what was expected to be a season-ending torn triceps, played 18 snaps and nearly bowled over right tackle Juwan Haller to draw a holding penalty. It was just such an ass-kicking. And it's kind of interesting that this article goes in to explain KC just did not invest at left tackle. They drafted that big kid out of BYU. They really wanted him to be the guy. He won the job coming out of camp, but just got smoked early on. So then Andy tried to go to a veteran in Wanya Morris. Then he sucked. If you remember, in like around Thanksgiving, they signed DJ Humphreys, who was just a veteran free agent at that point on mm-hmm. the street and played for the Cardinals. He was getting his ass kicked, so then they finally moved Thuney over there. Then Thuney was getting his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Thuney was good enough against the Texans, the Bills. I think it's an example of what Philly did, maybe more so than what KC didn't do. Listen,
Philly dropped some Sam Cassell and just said, you know what, I'm better than you one-on-one.
Yeah. I thought this was really interesting. We talked about it. So a couple of the bets I liked. I liked Xavier Worthy's yards a lot last night. That came through. This is a landfill classic, is to take Mahomes over rush yards. That did not come through last night. And I think it was clearly, one, just a testament to the talent, but two, part of their game plan. I'm going to read this here. The big scramble never came. In addition to winning one-on-one, Philadelphia's edge rushers did a great job of walling off the edges and forcing Mahomes to try to escape pressure by stepping up into the pocket as opposed to escaping through the sides and extending plays. Once he stepped up, the Eagles' defensive linemen were simply too big and too fast to run past.
Mm.
How about this? Mahomes didn't scramble because Hurts, they have designed quarterback runs.
Yeah.
KC rarely pulls off the design QB runs. They did one last year in the Super Bowl, but those are few and far between. It's usually Mahomes on a scramble, right? Mahomes didn't scramble for a first down all game. He had one late where he got like ankle tackled
mm-hmm.
about 2 yards short of the marker. He didn't scramble for a first down the whole game. How far back in Mahomes' playoff run do you think you have to go to the last time that happened?
His first year of starting?
The AFC title game, they lost to Brady. Where remember, they didn't get the ball back in overtime?
Yeah.
That's the last time he didn't scramble for a single first down.
Mm-hmm.
That's another telling stat. He didn't scramble. He didn't have a single Now, he was running for his life.
He was trying to scramble.
But he didn't get past the line of scrimmage for a registered scramble. When do you think that happened?
After halftime.
Dude, midway through the third quarter. Yeah. He didn't have more than an 8-yard run the whole game.
He made me scramble to the damn bar often. After I watched that game, like, I was like, I might just have a couple, you know, chill.
Oh, you didn't have a couple till after the game?
No. I was chilling. And then after like second half, I'm like, look, I'm just gonna give me something. And I sat there by the stone crab claws and
where you were at MGM last night?
Yeah, I probably ate. I ate more stone, what's it called, the stone crab, the stone claws, whatever, and shrimp than anybody in that place.
It was in the ballroom? I saw a picture.
No, it was in the theater where they do.
That's
the,
what I mean.
The concert set.
Yeah. I could call that a ballroom, right?
Oh, the ballrooms are the ones upstairs where we do the other stuff at.
Theater. That's what I meant then. Lanville's got more stats. So he was sacked 6 times, right? Pressured damn near every time. Not a single blitz, B. That was all front 4.
Oh, they didn't have to blitz. Let's not just say 4 against 4 because it was 4 against 5.
Sure.
And 4 against 6. And 4 against 7. And they were getting the pressure. Listen, man, if you want to win football games, if you can have 4 people blitz a rush like they do, like they did last night, consistently, you'll win a lot of football games. Because when you have 4 and you're dropping 7, you can confuse the hell out of the quarterback.
Well,
but if you rush 4 and that quarterback is like he said in 7-on-7 drill, he's going to pick you apart.
I also think there was a time where Travis Kelce is going to beat anybody 1-on-1. And I think
Travis Kelce has gotten slow to me.
Zach Baldwin,
I watched him last night. He
and
looks
Baldwin
slow.
Is so good
yeah.
that what if you were only going to rush 4.
A little thicker than he was in previous years, too.
If you were only going to rush 4 in the peak of the Travis Kelce era, he's just going to kill you, right? Because he'll just find some seams.
I think if they rushed 4 in the peak of the era and they couldn't block, the pass still wouldn't have got the ball to him.
True.
But he looked slower.
Dude, I mean, he finished that game 4 catches for 39 yards. He didn't have a catch at least till the second half.
I love how our fan base is. The last time the Eagles won the Super Bowl, the Caps won the Stanley Cup.
4 months later, baby.
Yeah.
Caps are rolling.
Boy, look,
I know they lost this weekend, but
I love it.
I do too. I just retweeted that. Shout out to Evan Johnson, the voice of Evan. You got my retweet, dog. I had another moment like that be last night where it was it was it's funny going back now and trying to think of what seemed like a big moment when inevitably none of it ended up being a big moment because it was just such an ass kicking.
Mm-hmm.
But when they called the offensive pass interference on AJ Brown early in that game, you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, it's kind of a weak call, but he did fully extend the arm. That's when you're supposed to throw the flag. And he kind of
Hit him in the face mask?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't call the face mask, but I think it extended beyond the typical pushing and shoving.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, weak call, but, you know, don't like the flag there. And I got like 50 replies right away from Skins fans being like, man, that's a makeup call for what he did to Lattimore a couple weeks ago. And I was like, God bless you. I love you.
But you know what? He did. He
just had the same thought.
I was one of them people.
You can't grab the face. You can't hit his face, man. You can't grab his man. That was another one late in the game when they hit Pat directly in the face. If they didn't call it.
Yeah.
No, they ended up calling it after the fumble.
Like
it was,
once they saw it,
they
went
it
back
was dead
later.
Ball.
I guess, what you call it? NFL, what's called that little thing? The recheck, whatever?
Oh, yeah. The New York calling.
Yeah, they must have called and said, y'all better call this. Because when it happened, I'm like, okay, you got a penalty.
Nobody's worried about the Chiefs in on it with the refs anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that storyline's
dead.
Listen,
man, the players decide
games. They
have
more penalty yardage in Philly.
The players normally decide the games on the field. I'm going to be now, when the Hockley crew goes out there, you got to be concerned, especially if it's the Eagles and the Commanders. But other than that, I think everybody else tried to call it fair. I don't trust him, though.
I thought the worst call was the Chiefs were about to force a punt, and they hit the linebacker. I think it's Burton. Bolton, maybe.
Offside?
No, the roughing.
That was weak. Now, that one was weak.
Junk.
That was weak as hell.
Junk.
But it happened. Like, he took, like, four steps and then hit the guy. Like, it was weak. But
and the guy, like, put a little extra fly in there.
He could have stopped. Like, you got, man. If you see they are calling the game this tight, you got to stop. Like,
they weren't calling it that tight. That's the question about it, though.
Even the A.J. Brown thing, like, that was soft. You seen they was making soft games the entire game.
They could have called a face mask or pass.
I think they called it because he fully extended.
Yeah, he extended his arm and also
anytime
the
elbow locks, they typically call that.
Which was soft. Y'all seen that man gank out DB
Dale. We're checking in with Jeff next. But before we go, it's supposed to snow 2 days this week, right? Tuesday and Wednesday. Make no mistake, the cold Washington winter weather is here. Is your home's heating system ready to go the distance? Assure your family's comfort all season long. Call my guys, the five-star heating experts at Crop Metcalf. Not only will your Crop Metcalf five-star technician properly fix and maintain your system, but he has the knowledge and experience to catch potential problems before you're left out in the cold. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician and proud partner of the Washington Nationals. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're checking in with both Philly and KC today. Our guy, Captain Bob Fesco, does the morning show in Kansas City. We were hanging with him last week.
Bob was cool, man.
Bob was real cool. I can't imagine he's having a great day, but we'll find out.
Oh, man, they had a lot of them. They had a lot of appearances.
Right. I bet they're all right with it. And then Derek Gunn from Philadelphia has covered the Eagles for many years. I can only imagine what that town's like. Now, I think Super Bowl press. I think the Eagles are still in New Orleans right now.
Yeah, but they had people on top of the poles last night. Yeah. I had one dude standing, and I'm like, dude, somebody just fell after the NFC Championship game and killed them, and they died.
Yeah.
What the hell is your problem?
Yeah.
And that dude wasn't stable.
Speaking of not stable, I've been wanting to check in with Jeff. Jeff, the Eagles won the Super Bowl, bro. How you doing?
I'm pissed off. I am the true definition of a ride or die fan for my team. They got some good things going on up in Philly, and I hate it. I hate it because we got to deal with this for the next 3-4 years. Even though I'm not worried because, you know.
They got to deal with us.
I was about to say, they got to deal with us, but, like, it's not even. You know how many phone calls I received last night? People sending me. All crazy type
but
of
were
people.
Were they Eagle fans or were they fans of other teams?
They Philly fans.
And because a lot of fans became Eagle fans as of late.
Yes.
They were fans of other teams prior to them beating us.
Yes.
And you know, but, so you if you weren't an Eagle fan at the beginning of the season, one finger salute to you trying to call it them something about them now.
Yeah, man. I just couldn't, like, every compliment I gave was given with a grain of salt yesterday. I was like, man, they look good. I hate it. Jalen Hurts went out there and showed the world he can carry that team. I hate it. But it's okay. Cause the command that I'm glad they got it now because it's gonna be a tough one coming out of the NFC East for some years.
I'll get back to like how it used to be. If you won the NFC East, you probably will go into the Super Bowl. I would love to see that era pop up again.
The division has won the most Super Bowls of any division in the NFL. By a wide margin. You now have the Eagles have won their second. We could try to be SEC fans on this. Nope. Nobody celebrates Alabama and Georgia being awesome like the SEC. Like everybody at Mississippi State and Florida
lately. That's just a little weird to me.
Right? Like, but whatever. So we can go that route and just try to SEC fan our way through this.
Nope.
It's not really how I'm built.
Can't do it.
Hold on. Can I address something right quick? Because I'm looking at the chat. They saying Hurts didn't carry the team. The defense did.
Defense did carry that team.
They did. But hold on. Hurts still made the plays because they stopped Saquon Barkley. he still was putting them balls on the dime.
I mean, he made plays. He made
Hurts had the best individual effort offensively. Hurts was really good.
He had a good play, but I'm just saying that defense dictated what happened in that game, bro. They made their defense have to take chances and do stuff. And when they started playing man-to-man, Hurts said, oh, my leg is well enough to run now.
Yep, and he got out of there, man. That was probably the best game I've seen Hurts play all season.
He had 119 quarterback ratings in there, 112 quarterback
ratings. I hated it.
He was awesome.
I hated it.
I'm with you, Jeff. I hated it. Me too.
I never thought I would see the Chiefs get I thought it was – I'm more mad that it was a blowout and this was the last game of the football season.
Bro, I think I'm most mad that football's over and that game sucked. Like, it was just an ass kicking. So we had a couple people over, and then everybody leaves at halftime because we've got little kids, and we were letting Shelby stay up. She's 9 and is really getting into football, and we're like, all right, you can stay up and watch it. But then I went and started cleaning up. I was doing dishes and, like, vacuuming. I was like, this thing is over. Like, I'm going to watch it, but during the commercials and stuff, like, I don't need to watch the recap of the first half. Like, I came back in and watched Kendrick, but that joint was over. And when the first possession of the second half.
I think that joint's over, too.
What's that?
Drake and Kendrick.
Yeah. But, dude, the first possession of the body second bag. Half, when they came out and it was 5 plays for 15 yards and they had to punt again, this thing is over.
Yeah, yeah.
The highlight of Kendrick was when he smiled at the camera. Like, that was such a vicious, I have ended your career at this point.
I don't know if he ended his career, but I'm going to tell you, like I said, he better never try to battle rap nobody again. Unless he's going to battle rap somebody from the Disney characters. You know, him and I said, Kendrick better not go down to Florida because Drake and Minnie and Mickey going to jump him. It was good, though. It was good.
It
was a lot of pettiness in that whole performance.
Sure.
I loved it.
I thought it was good. It was fine. I think I like when there's just, like, crazy collaborations at the Super Bowl. I would have liked more, I liked the L.A. one better because it was like 5 different people came out. And it was like you saw a whole lot of different stuff.
I don't know.
You liked that better?
I liked that one because the flow was going a lot better for me. And it was really more energetic, and I understood what he was doing. You know, I think Dre, Snoop, I liked. I didn't like 50, hanging upside down.
That was weird.
I always loved Eminem.
I always liked Eminem.
Eminem the flow. Mary J. was like the old auntie to me. You know, that wasn't her best performance. But they had her on there. It was cool. But I think he took it to another. Kendrick is super intelligent. And I think that's what they lose a little bit. But he was smart with everything he did last night.
Apparently, from a production standpoint, they were going to have more. They were going to have, like, fireworks and stuff. But it got canceled because of Trump was there. Like, you couldn't have indoor fire with a sitting president there, I guess.
Well, next time, don't invite no president back then again. If you got to change up stuff. You can have it with everybody else in there.
I'm not in charge of the performance rules. I thought it was fine. I think a lot of it is just like people that didn't enjoy it are just older and not into it. What'd you think, Jeff, as the musician of the show?
I believe this... It was cool because we knew the backstory of it, but it wasn't really entertaining. Like, I believe he shouldn't have did all them GNX songs. I think he should have hit some hits that had because we knew everyone was just waiting for.
Yeah, the whole not thing like was us. Waiting for that.
And that's how he played it up, though.
Yeah,
he
wanted to see him because it was some talk that came out. I don't know how true it is. That Jay-Z advised him that he shouldn't do it. I don't know how true that is, but so everyone was waiting for that. I just believe, like, he could have hit We Gonna Be All Right. He could have hit so many songs. It was just, this was just the end of the beef. That's all everyone wanted to see. When he put the game over at the end, it was like, I was like, man, game over for Drake and game over for the for the Chiefs. But I wouldn't say that was the most entertaining.
I'm not gonna say the most entertaining, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think you can enjoy it without it being the best.
But I mean, the best is you gotta go all the way back to Prince and stuff like that. And I don't think anything has touched that since. It ain't gonna get close to it. But my whole thing is, for my enjoyment of that last night, that was way better than when I was watching The Who.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I kept saying, who is that? They said The Who. I'm like, who? I didn't know who the hell they were. Had never heard a song. I can say this. All those people singing the song in that stadium, let's be real. Hip-hop has taken over. And the people that paid for those tickets singing that song, everybody's heard it. It touched some folks. So it's like, you know, you got to have what's popular. So, and I know sometimes they try to just force some things. Nah, let's go with what's popular. And I think when you, like you said, Jeff, 50,000 singing it, come on. Say what you got to say.
I think it's crazy that a Super Bowl halftime was the venue to finish off a rap beef. Like on a million different levels, that's just wild.
He going to have to put some more holes in that sweatshirt. I don't know if y'all hip about what's going on, but Drake has been on tour, and he's coming out with like a sweatshirt that got bullet holes in it. And his shirt is smoking.
You we got a break. More, it was 11. We're going to talk to Bob Fesco from Kansas City at 11:15.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.